يذنبون فيستغفرون الله تعالى فيغفر لهم. He mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I take an oath in that person whose hands my life lies in. لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا, had you people not committed sins. In other words, you were like angels without committing any sins. Perfectly clean, no mistakes, no sins. لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have dispensed with you. Allah Pak would have got rid of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have brought a new nation who would commit sin. فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهِ, and then after committing sin, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. So in other words, this hadith is not saying that we should commit sin, but what it's saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive so much. So much He loves to forgive, that if you people are not committing guna and asking Him for forgiveness so that He may forgive, then He would have got rid of you and got another nation, so that they would have asked Him for forgiveness and He would forgive them. So this shows the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for forgiveness. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith here to explain to us that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast, that don't ever lose hope. In this dunya, a person can lose hope. When it comes to business dealings, person can't get his money out. Yesterday somebody came to complain that they had invested so much money in such a place and now they can't get 1 cent out from that person. They feel as though they completely closed down. They say, besides closed down, completely eaten up. That's the words he used. Completely eaten up. And now I can't trade any longer. That's the end. You reach a point where you realize that there's the end of the road. There's nothing you can do about it. But when it comes to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no end of the road. A person can always hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always willing to forgive. Then we did another hadith with the similar words. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ خَلْقًا يُذْنِبُونَ. Instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing a new nation, Allah Pak will create a new nation. So yeah, the reason why muhaddithin bring it a separate hadith, as you mentioned, is that because the words are different, they were so particular that the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouldn't be misquoted, misunderstood, or shouldn't be lost. So therefore, every single word, even if there's a slight difference, they would bring it. Therefore, if you open a traditional hadith kitab, you'll find that they won't erase or just remove a word if they find another hadith with a similar word in another print. If another print has a different word, this print has a different, they won't just remove it and clear it and say, that's the older print, let's use that word. What they'll do is they'll make a small sign on the top, and on the side, on the hasha, they will write that word that they found in another print. So in other words, if you open one kitab of Bukhari Sharif, for example, you will see on the side prints of all the words that were found in other prints. So you'll find it printed on the side, words that were found in other prints, just to preserve the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa. It should never be such that we remove it here and we're using this word, but perhaps Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used another word, or it was reported like that. So much extent, to such an extent, they look after the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasalam. This is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun, that we have sent down this Quran, we have sent down this message, and we will look after it. And one of the things is looking after the tafsir of it, looking after the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Today's hadith of Nabi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, kunna qu'udan ma Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ma'na Abu Bakr wa Umar radiallahu anhu fi nafarin. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that once we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'na Abu Bakr wa Umar. Sahaba, when they would narrate a hadith, and if they had to say something, for example, he's saying that we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the gathering was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. Now what was the need for him to say that in the gathering was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar? He's saying we were sitting with Rasulullah, all of them were Sahaba. But specifically, you'll find many ahadith, they would mention it like this. In the same gathering was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. It shows us that what high regard they had for Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. That specifically they would mention that these two were in that same gathering to show that auspiciousness. Obviously sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, automatically that's a very, very auspicious gathering. But to add to that level of auspiciousness, they would mention that Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar were also present in that gathering. So yeah, ulama, just to take out one point, show that people pick out on Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, especially the Shias, etc. But amongst Sahaba in general, such a high maqam they had. That the Sahaba, when they would mention hadith, immediately, if they were somehow related, they would mention them also. So anyway, he says that Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, were there fi nafarin amongst the people. فَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَذْهُرِنَا. Then suddenly Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he woke up from there. فَأَبْطَ عَلَيْنَا فَخَشِينَا أَن يُقْتَطَعَ عَدُونَنَا. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he went away. So we all were in a gathering. Rasulullah woke up and he went away. But he delayed in coming back. He took very long in coming back. So we were afraid that something might have happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُمْنَا فَكُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ فَزِعَ فَخَرَجْتُ أَبْتَغِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he said, we all stood up. And we got worried now. What happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, I was the first one to get worried and concerned. So I went out in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ حَائِطًا لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَذَكَرَ الْحَدِيثِ بِطُولِهِ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ. So then he mentioned that I went to a garden, an orchard of an Ansari. Now here in this hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah doesn't explain the whole thing, but the whole story comes in another hadith. What had happened was Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu went looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he came to an orchard. Now that orchard was secured with high walls. So he tried to find a way to get into the orchard, but he couldn't get because there were high walls. Suddenly he seen a stream that was coming into the orchard. So the stream was going under the wall, but a very low wall. So in other words, there was enough gap for the stream to go in from beneath the wall into the orchard. So what he did was he squeezed himself under that wall where the stream normally would go through the wall. He squeezed himself and then he went inside. And then when he went inside, he saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there. So then he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had happened, that we are worried what happened to you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, this is the last part of this hadith that come, اذهب فمن لقيت وراء هذا الحائط, that go and whoever you meet behind this orchard, give them the news that يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُسْتَيْقِنًا بِهَا قَلْبُهُ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Whoever says, whoever witnesses that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firmly believing in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him glad tidings of Jannah. In other words, just because of his belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him Jannah. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done, he had told Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu this, and he had given him a sandal also. He said, take the sandal as proof that you are taking my word. You're not making up a story. Because you're telling people, you're giving them this glad tidings, and they just say, La ilaha illallah, firmly believing in it, they're testifying in it, and then they will get Jannat. So it's possible that people might not believe you, so take my sandal. And this will also show them that I am safe. So they don't have to worry, I am safe. And also they'll be getting the glad tidings. So as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was on his way, the first person he met was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. When he told Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu gave him one shot in the chest. One shot in the chest. In other words, don't tell people this. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of it, then he asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that why did you do this? So he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people will just rely on this. The fact that they're just saying La ilaha illallah, they're believing in it, they won't do any other actions to take them to the higher stages of Jannah. So in other words, they leave out A'mal al-Salihah, they leave out doing good deeds, they'll only rely on this one thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu on this. So here again it shows us that level of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Sometimes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say something, he'll suggest something else, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will accept what Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was saying. So anyway, this reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought this hadith was for this last part, that a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak is willing to give so much that he'll enter him to Jannah. Ulama explain that where a person's good deeds are more than his bad deeds, or where his minor sins are less than his major sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him direct entry into Jannah. But where his minor sins are more than his good deeds, or where a person only has bad deeds, then a person will have to go into Jahannam for some time, and then he will go into Jannah. So it doesn't mean that this hadith is wrong. This hadith is still there, that he will get Jannah, but he will get Jannah after some time, after going into Jahannam, being cleansed, being cleaned out of all that sin, then he will go into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of entering Jannah awwal al-dukhul, meaning the first entry without even having to see Jahannam or having to experience Jahannam. Allah Pak make it such that we all enter Jannah at the first entry. سبحان الله بحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.